this morning, 1 John chapter 1. We had a great service in 10 a.m. Sunday school. I think the Lord is speaking to us. I'm sorry, I said 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John later. John chapter 1. And John chapter 1. About love. We're going through this series of love in 10 a.m. Sunday school. Hope you can be there. And then a Thursday night, of course, 7 p.m. All these services, hope we can make time for them. John chapter 1. start at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. You see the capital W. It's the Word of God. And the Word was God. That means Jesus is the Word. We know that because verse 14, the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Word was God. Just another verse, it says, Jesus is God. cults don't say that. They say, Jehovah's Witnesses say that it says the Word was a God. And they change it and in their New World Translation. And they parrot things they're told by the religion. They say there's an absence of a definite article, so you put the word a in there to define which God, which, excuse me, isn't true. Their Bible doesn't do that. Verse 5, if you did that law rule, they didn't even know this, but I'll just show them this. I'm sorry, verse 6, there is a man sent from God. In that verse, you would put there is a man sent from a God. if you follow their rule, they're saying you follow in verse 1, and you do it all throughout the book of John, you would add A, and they would never add A. They don't add A in verse 6 in their Bible, so it's just changing the Bible to fit what they want. And the way you do it is the Bible changes you, not you change the Bible. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And so God had it right. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I want to talk about our relationship with the light today. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the word of God. It's so perfect and powerful. We thank you, Lord, that we have light through the word. And I pray we'd understand your thoughts today, Lord, Lord, I had something else I was going to preach on this morning. you switched this one. And the men will be preaching tonight, and I just pray you'd give us what you have for us. You have a reason for it. And Lord, if someone doesn't know you as Savior today, they're not saved, I pray they'd get the truth they need, be fed and edified and built up. I pray if there's anybody lost, they'd be saved, and they say to be built up, and we'd grow, and your Spirit would just be speaking powerfully, Lord. Without the Spirit of God, there's nothing we can do in this realm, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So help us to be helped and edified and spoken to in a mighty way. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you. We need no other argument. We need no other plea, Father. Our hearts are leaning on the Word of God as we sing. And I pray, Lord, you'd do a mighty work and dwell among us in a powerful way. And Lord, help us if we're in darkness to see we're in darkness. If we're in light, help us to see how to stay there. We need to think like you think. So help us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple observations on light, obviously, from this verse here. And we'll be a lot in John, but we're going to wander a lot of verses all over the Bible, especially 1 John and such. But John, and then the book of 1 John, the Gospel of John. First of all, the observation is Jesus is the light. It's pretty simple. It says, there's several verses that say these things, but go to verse 7. The same came for a witness of the light, talking about John the Baptist, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus is the true light. Now we're going to find out there's other light, but he's the true light. And he's the light of the world. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then John chapter 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of this world. And he is that light for the world. The world wants a light. Jesus is that light. I want to tell you, looking around at our nation and our area, we need Jesus in this area. We need some light. I was just observing, driving to church this morning in the shuttle, and just looking. And Satan is working in this area. And new pornography shops, not an adult bookstore. Adults don't go there. And down there, and all these bad coffee shops that have all kinds of bad things in them. I mean, within a mile of here, there's all kinds of things. And that's our fault. I don't blame the world. It's because we haven't had revival. And but the light that we need is Jesus here. It's not a religion. It's not a church. It's Jesus. And he can light this place up. But we got to have the light of the world. Jesus is, there will be no light in this world without Jesus. It's darkness. And he's the hope, and he is the hope of this world. So first of all, Jesus is the light. Number two, without him, we are in darkness. Without him, we are in darkness. In John chapter 12, some people said John is like the apostle of light. He uses light all over in his writings, especially the Gospel of John and 1 John. There's a lot about light in them, tons and tons and tons. John chapter 12, and that's where we'll spend a lot of time in his writings, because we want to, because of all the light things, all those other spots will go. And verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, and the light is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. So without him, we walk in darkness, it says. Verse 45, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So you are in darkness without Jesus. When I wasn't saved, I was in darkness. I didn't know I was in darkness. We'll talk about that, but I was in darkness. And without Christ, if you're without Christ today, you're in darkness. If you're not a good Christian, even if you're saved, you're in darkness. Because without Christ, you are in darkness. And that's where you are in life, and that's what the Bible says. You walk around in darkness if you don't go into the light. And so we see that. And we stumble, and we don't even know why we're stumbling. John chapter 11. Give me some cold water, Jess. I got warm water. So, John chapter 11, verse 9. And we see, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And then later we'll read in 1 John chapter 2, is he stumbles, and he knoweth not at what he stumbleth. He doesn't even know why he's stumbling. You probably have relatives like that. You might have been like that. You might be like that. You're stumbling around in life, and things are messed up. You ever meet someone who you're looking and going... They're going, I don't know why this stuff happens to me. And you go, you don't? You don't know why this happens to you? They don't know what they're stumbling at. I look at my old life, and I didn't know what was wrong. And then I became a Christian and started serving the Lord and read the Bible. And by the way, I am constantly looking back as I learn and learn and learn and looking back and saying, I was so dumb. I think I was dumb 5 years ago. I mean... The more you get in the light, the more you see how you didn't know what you were doing in the darkness. And a lot of people don't even know why they stumble. You try to tell them and they go, no, that's not why. it happens every financially. They blow their money and they waste their money. They're foolish with the money. And they say, why does God do this to me? I'm going, God didn't do that to you. The casino did it to you when you went to the casino. It's your $400 car payment when you make $25,000 a year. It's you said we're really struggling financially and you bought a new big screen. Your fourth one in your house. What do you mean? And they don't even, and they're like looking at blank like, no, that's not why. I really needed another TV. I you know what? We got a great deal on that car. It was regularly $45,000. We got it for $40,000. I mean, it's financially. It's in the relationships. You're the person who goes through a lot of relationships and always blames the other person. All five of them women are just the worst ever. Let's say that's true. Who married him? It's not my fault I married him. Did somebody like take you hostage? Say, I do. I mean, how did that have to do with you? They don't even have any clue. It's amazing. I say, it's amazing when you're not close to God how much you don't know. He's the light of the world. And you walk in darkness and stumble and don't even know what you're stumbling over because you can't see anything. You can't see your habits. You can't see, I mean, you can't see why you're messed up, why you're on antidepressants, why your family's falling apart, why you hate this person, why people, you ever met somebody who everybody hates them and they don't know why? And you're going, you don't? I can give you a few clues. Well, you're just like everybody else. Everybody says that stuff to me. It's my fault. I'm sick of you people. I'm never talking to you again. You know why these people all hate me. They don't even know why they're stumbling. And you might, if you're not close to God, by the way, closer you get to the light, the more you say, oh, whoa, that's what's wrong with me. If you're humble enough. If not, you'll do something else. There's another reaction. But if you follow that, you walk in darkness. You don't even know why you're stumbling. So without him, you are in darkness. Number three, and it doesn't matter how smart you are, by the way. Well, I just got good smart. I'm smart. I got common sense. Boy, there's some people who are smart and got common sense, think they do, but they don't know what they're doing because they don't know God. The answers are in Christ. Number three, you often don't even know you're in darkness. let's turn into the verse that says that. Without him, you're in darkness, but you often don't even know it. 1 John, and this is the verse I started quoting, but we'll return to chapter 2. We're going to be in a lot of verses. We'll keep turning back to the book of John, certainly a lot. And I'm going to, it'll be more of a Bible study to start off with and a little preaching at the end. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because a darkness is past, and the true light, we learn that's Jesus, now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because a darkness hath blinded his eyes. You don't even know. You have no idea why. I want to say this. It's very hard to understand for a lot of people, but when you aren't spiritual, you usually don't know you're not spiritual because you have no spiritual discernment. See, it's a tough dichotomy because the Holy Spirit is what convicts you and you quench the spirit, and now you say, God's not telling me this is wrong. Why? Because you're not hearing. Your ears become dull of hearing. You say, I don't hear anything. Well, you're deaf. It's like a blind person said, I didn't see what you're talking about. You're blind. And when you aren't close to God, you don't have this discernment of the spirits. You don't even know you're close. You don't know you're not close to God. All you wonder is why spiritual people keep telling you warnings, and all you keep saying is, why does everybody keep lecturing me about stuff? I know what I'm doing. I'm still close to God. Why does everybody keep saying that to me? I don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Why is everybody judging me? That's what you say when you're away from God, when you don't know you're away from God because you don't have spiritual discernment. And why is a preacher always preaching on me? And you really believe that at that point. You really think, I sit around and say, what did they do this week? I'm writing a sermon about them. You don't know there's eight other people who think the same thing. And if you're not nice to me, I will. No, I won't. And I've never in the history of our church preached a sermon about somebody. Never. I don't even plan what I'm going to preach. I say, Lord, we want to preach. And he says, preach this. And I say, okay. Why? He says, it's up to you. You're up to you to obey. I'll figure out the who, what, where, when, why, what, who it speaks to. Sometimes I come in here and say, nobody's even going to get this. And people come afterwards and say, how'd you know? Say, I knew everything. And so, why? Because I don't say, because the Holy Spirit. But you think I'm preaching you because the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and you don't have the discernment to know you're not right. And so you think I thought all about you all week long. I had nothing else to do this week. And why? Because your discernment's gone. Because you don't know you're not spiritual. You ever work? Does it ever get dark in a room? And it's gotten darker and darker, maybe the sun's setting, and you're working and working and working, and you don't even realize it's gotten dark. And all of a sudden, somebody turns the light, and I say, well, it's dark, and it turns the light, and you go, oh, my soul. No wonder I couldn't see what I was doing. That's what happened to my eggs. And you don't even know what's wrong, because you can't, because you ever have that happen? And you don't even realize how dark it had gotten, and you couldn't see anything. You don't even realize it until the light turns on. And that's the way when you're away from God, you don't even realize the way you're thinking. You're thinking like the world. You're thinking unbiblically. You're thinking all wrong, because you don't even know what you're stumbling at because you're in darkness. How are you supposed to know what you're stumbling at when you're in darkness? You just tripped. Usually, what you do is you blame somebody else when you're in darkness, not realizing you tripped over your own sin. And it's your mama's fault, and your brother's fault, and the guy at church's fault, and your neighbor's fault, and your spouse's fault, and your kid's fault. And it's everybody else's fault. You don't even know what you're stumbling over because you're walking in darkness. So Jesus is the light. Without him, we are in darkness. You often don't even know you are in darkness. In darkness, you don't see well enough to know it's dark and what it is in your life. There are creatures in the world that have never seen light, and they don't even know they're in darkness in the bottom of the ocean. I don't know they're in darkness. They don't know. They've never seen the light. I didn't know I was in darkness until I got saved when I was 16. I didn't know I was in darkness. Most people don't. You might be lost today, not even saved. You might think, oh no, I love God. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. You're in complete darkness. You don't know it. You're not going to go to heaven because you're good. Nobody does. You're lost. But in darkness, you don't know that. And it's not because you're not smart. It's not because you're not well-intended. It's because you've not been shown the light. And Jesus is that light. So what do we do? Just some thoughts here. Let me go back to John. And I'm going to give you some thoughts about what do we do since Jesus is the light and we won't even know if we're not in the light. And without him, we're in complete darkness. Let me give you some things to do and explain to you. First of all, what should we do? You run to the light. Amen? Run to the light. John chapter 3 and down to verse 21. We'll read the verses before in a little while, but we'll just do 21 right now. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. You know what I love about our church? It's the best thing about our church. I can't preach hard enough to offend people in our church. They like it. That was good. That was awesome. I like when you preach hard. They always tell me, I like when you preach hard, Pastor. Everybody tells me that. I'm a softy most of the time, I guess. They like hard preaching. Why? Here's a strange thing. People who are spiritual want to get preached at and get their toes stepped on. They want to know if they're doing something wrong. And so they don't mind if somebody gets up here and says, rah! It's good. You're not rawing, I guess. And whatever you're doing wrong. And preaches and lets them out. Why? Because they want hard preaching. They say, bring it on. I need to know it, man. I need this. I got things to fix. I don't even know if I'm doing something wrong. A lot of us say, you know what? Hey, if I'm doing something wrong, let me know. But when you're not right, you do not want that. You know what you want? You want someone to say, what you're doing is good. It's called itchy ears. And there's lots of churches out there, and lots, that's a big thing now. The people come to church to hear what they want to hear. They want someone to tell them what they want someone to tell them that they're good. A lot of times. That's why the biggest church in America is a church of a man who just tells you how good you are. And tells you all about the hope and your goodness and the best you now. Okay? Why? Because people want to hear. people, they don't want the light to shine on them. They're sitting there in filthy clothes and saying, you know what? My clothes are great. And they don't want anybody to tell them otherwise. Man, if my clothes are torn up and stinky or ripped or whatever, you ever had a clothing problem and nobody told you? We won't go any farther, but you know. You wish somebody told you? You run to the light and you go to it. First of all, light reveals. So some don't want to come. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. One of the most encouraging things about our church is unspiritual people never stay. They did. We don't run them off. They just leave. It's a good sign. Unspiritual people run from light. They want darkness. By the way, I reckon a place that likes to stay dark all the time is probably not a good place for a Christian. There's a reason they darken certain kind of buildings. Maybe you shouldn't hang out in those places. Why do they keep the lights down in bars? Because everyone's ashamed. Because they don't want anything revealed. Strange thing, church is in a crazy backward way of thinking. They made church gothic and dark. Heaven's bright. Hell's dark. And you shouldn't. Bars make it dark. Bad places make it dark. Why? Because they're running from the light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to. They don't. That's why they say, don't judge me. Why? They don't want light. Because it reveals. Light reveals our sin. Now, spiritual people will run to the light. They'll want it. And they'll want to know what they're doing. They'll want to know what's right and wrong. They want clarity. They want light. A church that has light. Isn't it strange that here's a friend of yours. They'll go with their friends to the bar. They'll go with their friends to the game. They'll go hang out with family anywhere. They'll go to a family reunion. They'll go to a motorcycle club here. They'll go anywhere in the world, and they'll do anything. They'll go to a crazy place. They'll go to a weird place. They'll go to all kinds of crazy things. Say, hey, can you come to church with me? Oh, I don't church. I don't go into church. It's like you're asking them, can you go with me to Auschwitz? We got a special room for us. We're going to get burnt out. I mean, it's like, I don't want to do that. No. They're scared to death of church. Why? I mean, they're afraid to go. And they'll go to all kinds of crazy places. But church, why? Place of light. By the way, a lot of times I go to a church that doesn't preach the Bible. But get a Bible preaching church, they won't walk. They don't want to go. Why? It reveals. A lot of times they want to be with godly Christians because godly Christians have light and it reveals things. And you'll find out that people will come under conviction if you're full of the Holy Spirit, whether you say anything about their sin or not. They'll think you're saying things about your sin or not, about their sin, that just because light's coming at them. Many times I've had somebody say to me, you know, why are you always talking about this about me? I've never said a word to them. They're cussing or they're drinking or whatever. They're just doing around me. I haven't even said a word yet. And all of a sudden they're saying, I know. You told me to stop doing this. I haven't said a word yet. And then they tell everybody, I don't like going to them because all they do is judge me and tell me I shouldn't do things. We didn't. Something was telling them. Light was being revealed finally on them. And you ever notice certain relatives don't want to get with you anymore? And you can be nice as you want to be. It doesn't matter. Light is being revealed. That's just the way it goes. Light reveals stuff. Where is light? You want to run to the light. So where do we get this light? Because I want to illustrate this. Understand this. We aren't the light. But we're going to get to a point a little bit later. The light shines through us. Think of it this way a little bit. Think, you know, the little green glow in its dark stuff? You know, you got ball, like football or basketball or a soccer ball or the little things you put in your wall, and then you turn off the lights, they're glowing the green stuff. Little toys, the bouncy balls, whatever it is. That's what we are. Jesus is the light. We get near that light, and then we go away glowing, and now we're a light. And we've got to get to the light. We are. It says here, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. He's not afraid of that because he's doing the truth. So first of all, where are we going to find this light? First of all, we're going to find it in the Lord's presence. He's a light. That's who we get to the light. He is the light of the world. So that means you go spend time with God. Go pray, spend some time with God. Where else do we get the light? From the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. If you spend time in this book, you will begin to get light. You will begin to be bright. You will begin to have discernment and understand things. This book gives us light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's why every single day you ought to be in the light. Why? Because you're going to have the darkness screaming at you all week long. It's going to try to take your glow, your discernment, your thinking, and this world is going to try to ruin and make it so you're in darkness. You've got to get to the light of the Word of God. So spend time with God every day. Spend time in the Word every day. Next, where is light? In a good church. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 says, a church is a candlestick. And you go to church and you get light. And that's where you're supposed to get at church and get into a good church. And then in good fellowship with other Christians. Let me take you to 1 John again. You might as well keep your finger in 1 John and John. 1 John and other Christians, verse 5. If you want to get in the light, you want to run to the light, you run to time with God, you run to the Word of God, you run to a good church, and you run to good fellowship with good believers. Verse 5, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, this is your memory verse. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now listen to this. When you get a Christian who's in the light and you get together, the flame builds. Get a couple pieces of wood that are on fire together and they burn even bigger. And you need to get around good Christians. Do not isolate yourself. I don't care if you're an introvert. Tough. Be around people. The extrovert needs to learn to go be alone with God, and the introvert needs to go be around to godly Christians. Just make yourself, whether you want to or not. You've got to fellowship with good Christians. Get around good people. This week, I spent some good time with good people, and then as a pastor, I spent some good time with people who I needed to minister to, but other people I was with lifted me up. My home was like that. You get around a good home, it's good fellowship. It's not just a family, it's a fellowship. And other people, other Christians, we walk in light together, and you do that. And you, that's how you get in the light. I want to say this, you got to stay away from the darkness. You got to stay away from the darkness if you want to stay light. And it's very important. We got to walk in the light. It's a constant thing. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Remember, you're still in the light. You're still going to be glowing. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. We walk in the light. It says verse 11. He that hateth his brother walketh in darkness, is in darkness and walketh in darkness. So there's a walk you have. You can walk in darkness, you can walk in light. We should walk constantly in the light and be careful to do that. And so you've got to go and get around and run to the light through church, through time with God, through the Word of God, through fellowship with other Christians, and to get the light. But I want to say your light can be put out real quick in this world. You know the fastest way the Bible says to get your light put out? It's going to surprise you a little bit. The fastest way to get your light put out is to turn to a book of Matthew. Let me take you to Luke. It says Matthew and Luke, but we'll look at it in Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Talking about light. Neither under a bushel, but in a candlestick, and they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single or clear, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body shall be full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body therefore be full of light, having no dark part, the whole shall be full of light. Even as when the bright and shining candle that giveth light. Do you see what he just said is the biggest source of light and darkness? Your eyes. It says if you're in Matthew, phrase it this way, if your eyes are darkened, if your light is dark, how great is that darkness? I know, the biggest reasons Christians don't even know they're in darkness are stumbling in worldliness and mediocrity. Television. Internet. The light of the body is the eye, and if it's clear and good, we have evil eyes. We don't get on the internet and all of a sudden YouTube video pops up and we can say, hey, look, this is an awesome sermon. Let's go look at it. Let's watch this. This is somebody getting saved on YouTube. You know what we look at? What do we look at? What do we watch? How many Christians parrot secular thinking because they've watched 4 hours of TV a day and read their Bible for 10 minutes? What do you watch? What do you look at? Where do your eyes go, guys? It's good preaching. Light. Better watch your eyes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a lot of darkness out there. Here's a scary thing. You get so desensitized after you start off with just a little bit and more and more and more and more. Pretty soon, you have no idea how bad what you're watching is. Then they say, Pastor, you got to watch this movie. You know what? There's hardly any cussing and, you know, just a little bit of nudity. Do you not know who you're talking to? But to them, it's good because, well, Pastor, I watch a lot worse than this. You're kind of, where's a gun? Leave me alone. What are you thinking? You get so desensitized. Just got a little nudity, a few cuss words. And who had to die for those cuss words? And how many sins it takes to send someone to hell? The wages of sin. Well, I mean, it's not as bad as a lot of stuff. Okay, great. You only killed one person. You're not as bad as a lot of people. I mean, Charles Manson and Hitler, I mean, it was just your neighbor you didn't like, and they won't find him anyway. No big deal. You relativize everything. Why? Because you get desensitized. Because you see garbage all day. A unsaved person 100 years ago would watch what you watch on television and be aghast. And say, what are you watching? An unsaved person. Eyes are very important to the light. First of all, we're supposed to run to the light. Secondly, by the way, didn't you say you liked hard preaching? You like when people reveal stuff to you? Good. Good. You said amen, so you can't get mad at me. Number two, you're supposed to be the light. Let's go to Matthew 5. You're supposed to be the light. We said you're supposed to run to the light, but also be the light. You don't have to be entertained. What would I do? You'd think. You know there's these things, they're kind of square, and if you open them up, they have little black lines in them, and as you run your eyes across them, they're called books, and you can, it's a thing called reading. It's a really weird thing. And you can read things. And there's these things called kids and spouses. And you can actually have communication with them outside of staring into a large screen in front of you. And way back when there was dinosaurs roaming the earth, there was these little square things. You had little things you rolled, and they had numbers, and you played games with them. And they're called board games. You know, dinosaurs, board games, fossils. And I have it on my computer and my phone. You could actually talk to each other. You could actually exercise. Did you know your lawn? Did you know you don't have to have a company mow your lawn? What's that? What did you say? You do not have to have a license to push one of those things around your lawn. You got, I mean, if you could take these little seeds, you put them in the ground in the dirt, and little things sprout up. It's kind of neat. I do that on my computer. I got a virtual garden. It's awesome. It's just the same. There's, what, why do you have to watch TV for 3 or 4 hours a day? There's so much to do in life. Life is rich and full and awesome and great. And your life is this. Where's the remote? Where's the remote? Where's the remote? That's your life. I mean, your exercise is lifting couch cushions, looking for your remote again. And you got a hard-to-push mouse for extra exercise. I don't know where that came from. Be the light. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right here it says, you're the light of the world. You said, no, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Watch what he says. He says it very carefully. Look at chapter. Look at John chapter 9. And John chapter 9. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Ah. Jesus isn't in the world anymore. You're now the light of the world. If the world will be lit, it will be lit by you. If we have revival, it'll be by us. Jesus will not come down personally and start a revival. We are the light of the world. He says, you're the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men light a candle and put it in a bushel, but put it in the candlestick, give it light to all that are in the house. We are the light of the world now. Here's a great way to illustrate this. It's very simple. It's nighttime. You cannot see the sun. But you know what you are? You're the moon. The moon does not have any light of its own. Say, no, I see it. It's all bright. That's reflecting the sunlight. You know what you are? You're reflecting the sun. He's the true light, but they see the light shining off of you. You are now, and by the way, you know, on a full moon, it can get pretty bright. It gets pretty bright out there. No, Jesus is in the world. This world's in darkness. But you know what? A bright moon can put out a lot of light. And if you and I will let Jesus shine off of us, it's his light. Understand this. We're the light of the world, but Jesus isn't here right now, so his light shines through us and shines on us. It's his light. We know he lives in us, and it's him. It lightens the world, and we need the sun to still be shining, even though it cannot be seen in this dark world, shining through us. To stay bright, you must not let darkness come into you. Once we get dark, and that's what's happened to America. America was a great godly country at one time because the Christians were shining the light. The problem is it's not the world. It's not President Obama. That's not the problem. It's not our politicians. It's not the pornography store up the street. They're not supposed to be shining light. The problem is Christians quit shining light, and so nobody feels bad about anything, and so the presence of God isn't here. Hey, when they got the presence of God, they said, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. The presence of God dwelling in us changes the world. It brings revival. Jesus can still bring revival, but it's through us. But Christians quit shining. They quit having the light of God in their life. They became like the world and became darkness. And so the whole world got dark quick because there's no light. We've got to have light in us. We've got to be the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to have great light today. And by the way, if you shine anything right now, it's so dark, it's going to be pretty obvious. A weak flashlight looks bright in pitch black. Next, what are you supposed to do? Number three, make more lights. Make more lights. Acts 26. Got a lot of verses here I'm not going to get to. Acts 26. Make more lights. That's called winning souls to Christ. Going soul winning, preaching the gospel. And when God talks about soul winning, he talks about light and darkness. Acts 26. And verse 18, beautiful verse. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. He says we're supposed to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. I'll read another verse real quick. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil has blinded people, but Jesus Christ can bring the light. Go tell somebody that Jesus died for sinners. Realize you have people in darkness. They're just a candle without a fire. But if you will go and take your light of salvation to them and put it on them, they can be lit. And now you got another light. Win people to Christ. Take a track with you. Give them a track. Go witness to them. Tell your neighbors. Invite them to church. Witness to them. Tell them about Christ. You've got to go make more lights. We need way more flashlights, way more candles in this world. Soul winning. Witnessing all the time. Don't stop. Pray for open doors. Look for people. Go door to door. Go to your neighbor. Go on the streets. People are in darkness and they're stumbling over things they do not know. And the light is Jesus Christ, and he's the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. I want to say this, no matter how dark it is, the light can break through the darkness. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus came into the very dark world. God was not speaking for 400 years. Even the religious people were terrible hypocrites and evil and ungodly. And Jesus came into that darkness. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me tell you, this darkness is not greater than the light of Jesus Christ. I know there's darkness out there. I want to say this. The darkness in Seattle is not greater than the light of Jesus Christ. Darkness never overtakes light. Light just goes away. You never say somebody's too bright in here, turn in the dark. Right? When light goes away, the darkness is there. But darkness never... Oh, you know, my flashlight was so bright, and all of a sudden, dark covered it. It never happens. Dark never conquers light. Light just goes away. So all the darkness out here, we don't have to worry about anything. We just got to get the light shining. The darkness is not stronger than light. I got this little tiny flashlight on my key here. Isn't it cute? That little guy right there. Doesn't look very bright. Other night, I was pitch black somewhere, and I could not find something. I was in my chicken coop, of all the places. My chicken coop at nighttime. Couldn't find something. Stupid chickens jumping on me. Said, I'm calling Uncle Colonel Sanders in a minute, buddy. And and I couldn't see a thing. Then I remember, I have my keychain on me. Woo! Nothing better than a man finding the tool and being prepared. Pull it out. Whoosh. You wouldn't believe how bright that thing was in that little chicken coop to find whatever I had lost. The hatchet, hopefully. And you wouldn't believe how bright that little thing was in that darkness. And I found what I needed because that little tiny light right there. You know, you is one light. You can be in a room that's dark, and if it's pitch black, your eyes use the darkness. You turn on one flashlight and you can see everything pretty good. Darkness is not more powerful than light. We can have light. I want to say, the last thing I want to say is just, you better respond to the light while it's there. John chapter 12, last verse I'll read. It's great. God can bring revival to America. God can make us to be in the middle of the Bible Belt. God can transform your family. The light can break through the darkness. The light is greater than the darkness. Don't get intimidated by darkness. Turn on the light. And our light is greater than all. John chapter 12, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. If you read old books, they used to get up very early in the morning. Very early. Do you know the sun does not come up? It comes up gradually. It doesn't pop up at noon when you get up. And the sun comes up gradually. You know why they used to get up very early in the morning and go start their farm work at 5 in the morning? Because they didn't have lights. And they worked while it was day, and the sun does come up early. Never forget, we had a lady in our church, it was kind of a little ditzy. She got this thought in her mind one time, and she had this incredible thought. She's a very really poetic person, not more practical. And she said, I think this is the most beautiful thing in the world. I've never watched the sun rise over the ocean. I'm going tomorrow. So she got up the next morning, like 3 in the morning, drove out to ocean shores and sat there looking over the Pacific Ocean. Said, I'm going to watch the sun rise. It's going to be so beautiful, rising right over the ocean. If you don't understand that, you'll get it later. Okay. Sun rises a certain side and goes to the other side, and it got all bright, and she says, I missed it. Then later she figured it out that, yes, she didn't miss it. She was looking the wrong way. And if my church that dumb, you do not get that. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Go try it. It's great. It's beautiful. Yeah. What was I talking about? Respond to the light while you have the light. They worked when the sun rose. Why? Because they knew it would get dark and they couldn't work anymore. Here's the thing about light. There's windows in the Bible. God's speaking to you. While you have the light, walk in light. See, I've seen sometimes where God's speaking to somebody, and they're almost there, ready to get saved. And then they don't. And it seems like they harden. Somebody else, God's speaking to them, and their life's, they're about to lose something in life. They're like, and God just speaking to them. The light's there. Respond while you have light, because the light isn't always there. God said, my spirit won't always strive with man. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. If God's speaking, you better respond right then. Because you don't know if the light's going to keep speaking. When it's darkness, you won't even know which way to go. While God's speaking. If God speaks to you in this service this morning, it's time to get right. If you're not saved this morning, you say, I'll do that someday. You better walk while you have the light. If you don't know if you're going to heaven today, you better do it right now while God's saying, I want to save you. Why is his Holy Spirit speaking to you and why he's drawing you? Because you might not have another chance. While you have the light. If you're saved and God's speaking to you about some darkness in your life, it's time to respond right now. While you have the light, walk in the light, he says. While you have light, believe in the light. You may be children of light. Yet a little while and the light is with you. Walk while ye have light. That's what you got to do. Light's important. You're in a dark world. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in the light and let's do it right now. You become the light and walk in the light and run to the light and stay in the light and let's change this world. Let's go make some more lights. Let's bow for prayer. Father, may we be like a full moon shining bright in a dark world. Lord, help us not to be foolish enough to run from the light. You said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Help us not to do that, Lord. We need help to be in the light. In a dark world, Father, I pray you'd help us to be in light. Lord, bless this truth. I pray that each one of us would become great lights. I pray we'd light some other lights up. And I pray great things would happen, Father, in our lives. Whatever your truth was for this sermon, may we want to walk in light. Father, far too often I'm in darkness, Lord. Far too often I let the darkness take away some of my light. Lord, we don't ever have to do that because our light is greater than darkness. Please, Lord, help us have revival among ourselves so we can become great, powerful lights this week out in this area. Please, Lord, help us to be manifest in the life, a city set on a hill, a candlestick on top. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus is the light of the world. He's now not in the